Still Human, a sci-fi space exploration drama. Journey to planet G-159C. Arrive back at what I'm assuming is their home, or at least a seasonal home. There are permanent-looking structures nestled into the forest here at the base of a massive mountain. What's especially interesting is that there's a second level built in the high canopy with no visible way to get up there other than this single makeshift staircase that climbs the 50 or so feet. It's dusk, and the clouds I'm with have been greeted by an assembly of what seems to be hundreds of cloud beings. I felt a surge of attention as they absorbed my presence, but felt an equal rush of calm an instant later. As their attention turned to the leader, and they haven't seemed to consider me at all since then. He's standing next to a fire that they've all gathered around. I've backed far away so that I can document this. I can't hear what they're saying, but I'm not sure they even speak. I can feel something, though. I feel union, I feel bonding, but something else. It's imprecise, or my sense of it is, but I feel almost like I can see what they're communicating now. It's still hazy, and I'm not sure it isn't just random images and thoughts popping in my head as I try to discern, but the kaleidoscope of what I'm feeling and seeing tells me that he's informing them of some danger, a meeting or a gathering, something that was disappointing, and everyone seems to be feeling not quite panic or frustration, but something between the two. All right, I'm going to pause now. Okay, they must have stood like that for 20 minutes. The sense of bonding grew stronger until what felt like the last gasp of disunity thawed, and now they're disassembling. Almost all of my group and most of the crowd of clouds here are teleporting up the branches and into the second level, but some are moving to the makeshift walkway. The leader and the being that was guarding me in the cave before, the being that I think might be his son or his brother, are walking up the stairs, though I've seen both of them teleport, so I'm not sure why they aren't just teleporting. I need to set up my shelter down here, but I also need to finally tell Scott what's going on out here. He left me a message last night saying that he would send a drone to the location of my device so that we could communicate by sending audio back and forth that way. I don't think he trusts shortwave anymore. I'm not exactly sure why. I'm going to walk a little further away for that. Scott, Houston, what have we gotten ourselves into, man? I'm also with beings, though it sounds like they're an altogether different species. I'm sorry I haven't contacted you before this. We've arrived at what I believe to be their home. Naturally, I have no idea what will happen next. How they'll handle my presence here, why they've even allowed me to come here, or what is best from me. They've shown no signs of ill intent, only friendship and warmth. I'm going to patch in all the audio that I've been recording so far as I've been with them. Might paint more of a picture than I could summarize here. But please respond when you get this. I'm available. Alright, I gotta send this off and build a shelter and go to bed. Blasted drone woke me by nearly thumping my head. I don't think I like this method very much, Scott. I guess it's cool, though. It's like carrier pigeons or the owls from Harry Potter. I'm not even sure you get that reference.
All right. I'm going to patch his audio in here.
Well, of course, there's another one out there. You know, we tried to pick out a landing site that looked safe. And here, everything seemed good. And Wallace liked the lake. We used all of our sensors. We sent out the security team. Try to prevent this exactly from happening. And now you're right. We're in the middle of who knows what. I might try to see if I can get a read on some of the clouds with the drone. I don't know how we missed them, but hopefully they're not as advanced as you make them out to be. If they are, then I don't think we're going to be able to keep this a secret for much longer. I'm already nervous that word might have slipped out. And waiting now, it's not just a matter of keeping control over the colony, but it's also a security matter. Because we have no idea what their intentions are. At least our solar orbiters are actually working now. Finishing that is actually what let me get this drone out. The chief engineer and her whole team crashed when the power started feeding into the relays. I don't think they're even going to notice this thing. Although if we start turning out guns to deal with these things, they're going to notice that. That's part of the point, isn't it, though? I mean, they're clouds. How do you shoot a cloud? I mean, I guess we can put box fans out in front of the colony, but I just have no idea what we're dealing with. I don't know, we'll figure out something. Anyway, we still have our beings up here to deal with, and I'm moving forward to get a party out. I'm gonna send a small group, people I can trust. I'm gonna send a security detail, probably just one person, one of our biologists, and a volunteer. Nux. Now, I know that he at least joined us as the cook, but from everything I've seen from him, he's dependable and unfazable. He's more passionate than anyone else here about meeting aliens. And I really don't think that he would. Well, I don't think he would lose his cool, and I don't think he would spread this information inappropriately. I'd like to be able to wait for your reply, but I have no idea what kind of time frame these things have in mind for this meeting. You know, I don't even know what they expect us to say. We come in peace? Live long and prosper? I mean, it's the same problem. For all we know, they can't even hear us. Well, they also wouldn't know English, but aside from that, for all we know, our manner of speech, the sound level of our voices would somehow be, could be, incredibly painful for them to hear. So I don't know. I want to get this team out by daybreak tomorrow, but if you have any ideas, I'd appreciate them.
That's interesting. Well, I suppose I would say that since they have demonstrated that they are observers of nature, at least representative of their ability to draw a map for you, you know, to share some inner subjective understanding of what a tree is or a lake is. I mean, obviously, and the ability to then communicate and interpret it correctly. I would imagine that they are observers of all nature and have an understanding of relationships between species. So what if you sent either a two-dimensional light image or project a hologram of the group of humans and a group of these aliens standing atop soil, above them the branches of the trees interlocking in the canopy, and below them the roots of those trees interlocking with a group of humans and a group of these aliens, distinct and separate. Don't want them to feel like we're going to impose some great change on them, but to suggest the desire for constructive cooperation and peaceful coexistence within, you know, the natural circumstances we find ourselves in on this planet. I think that might work. I should tell you also, it was interesting last night. I set off into the forest. I wanted to see if I could retrace my steps so that I could find my way back if I ever needed to go get water, if I ever was to, you know, hike back to Port Wallace. I wanted to see if I really had a good understanding in terms of, you know, the context of landmarks of where I was here. And I got a little lost, or very lost. Night hiking's fun, but, you know, you're prone to get lost, especially when there's no blazes or anything. I'll be able to make my way back eventually. But while I was lost, I stumbled across this massive, massive, massive bird's nest high up in one of the trees. I mean, it's in ruins. I don't know how old it is. You can see, like, little tufts of nest debris and remains with sort of a clustered nucleus that was still kind of surviving. You can tell it was a nest. Massive. And that's interesting. I know that we didn't detect anything like that on our way in. I don't know, maybe there's some species here, you know, colonized the canopy. So an entire species of smaller animals lives in these nests. It's the only one I've seen, but I'll let you know if I see any more. All right, Scott, throwing your pigeon to the wind.
Hello, and thank you for downloading this week's episode of the Still Human Podcast. Starting this week, we'd like to invite you to punch your own ticket to planet G159C. Tweet us at Still Human Show with your idea for your very own colonist. Who are you? What do you do? Link an iTunes review with that tweet. Just mention your Twitter name in the review, and you're in. Now, we might make some changes to fit the needs of our story, but winners will be invited to be a part of the show and voice their own character. Thanks again, and we look forward to seeing your submissions.
The following podcast is brought to you by Astro Panda Productions. For more information or to find other great shows, visit astropandaproductions.com or visit the Astro Panda Productions page on blogtalkradio.com.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to Geico, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.